Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the teachers.
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network. Hello, everyone. I'm Saint Rick, coming to you on this beautiful Memorial Day weekend. We are very excited to be here and with my good buddy who's joining us from South Carolina, Saint Albert. And today we are going to be starting off with one of the most difficult teachings in the Word of God, because God has showed up. And he showed up to St. Albert last night. And St. Albert, I'd like for you to explain what happened to you last night.
Well, Rick, man, I didn't sleep at all last night. If I had 2 hours, it was too much. But the Lord told me, he goes, I want you to show something to Rick so Rick could explain it. And that's what we're going to do. And it's about two verses that are being used all the time out there to say that salvation by grace alone is not enough. Right. And of course, those two verses are taken out of context to what the letter is about. You know, you have to put everything within the context of the letter. But to tell you the truth, Rick, it's very hard the way that it is written to get the true context of those areas there. But I am confident in the Lord that he's going to provide the words so people will understand.
Well, I tell you what, when you first told me about this, when I first started to read this, I knew that this was going to be a very complex subject for a lot of people to grasp. So it's going to be a little deep today. And those of you who want to get deep, we can get deep. You're going to enjoy this very much. For those of you who are very surface or not ready to receive this, this is going to be difficult for you. Or if you are very legalistic, you're not going to like this at all. But I implore you, don't take the teaching from me. Take it from the Lord. Take it from him, because he will teach you everything. And it's got to make sense in the Bible. And to try to make sense of it, we are going to go, before we even get started on the teaching, we're going to have to go a couple other places. And what I mean by that is we're going to have to go some places that make sense. Let's go to John 3:16. Even the legalists know this one, right? Mm-hmm. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word isn't have enough faith. The word isn't keep the commandments. The word isn't keep the law. The word isn't whoever stops sinning. The word isn't being sin free. The word isn't those who don't have tattoos. The word isn't those who haven't made sins according to the law. The word isn't whatever you've done wrong. It's that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The believing part is coming from the heart. It's not coming from your mouth. The confessing comes with your mouth. But God loved the world. God isn't doing this for any other reason. We love because he first loved us. So we have to understand that God loves us. If you understand that we have a God of love, so much so that he loves us, that he gave his only Son to go through the misery that you see in Passion of Christ times 10. If he loved us that much, that reveals character, reveals a picture. I love you so much, I'm going to sacrifice my son for you. That reveals who he is. We need to know who he is by nature to get this complex teaching we're going to show you today. So if we don't know who God is, we're going to just take everything on surface and it's not going to sink into your heart. Getting it into your head is the beginning, and then it goes to your heart, because the Word of God also tells us about what's called the armor of God. One of the things it talks about is that the belt of truth, that's the first thing he has in there, right? So if we have the belt of truth, we have to know the truth. The truth is God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if you believe in him, you need the confidence of the everlasting life. That's the belt of truth. That's the truth. And then you need to get it into your head. The truth is the truth, whether you get it into your head or not. Let's just make that clear. The truth is we have a fleshly body. That's the truth. You don't have to believe it, but it's still true. The truth is God loves you. You don't have to believe it, but it's still true. Get that belt of truth wrapped around you. Then you got the helmet of salvation. You have to have the knowledge. You have to know. You have to know that you are saved. And then your breastplate of righteousness is something that protects all your vital organs, because if you don't know you're righteous, your vital organs will be exposed to the world's attacks, to everybody's attacks. And if we're exposed to everyone's attacks, we're going to find out that we are going to be hurt, because it's going to shake your confidence in the knowledge that God loves you. You cannot allow the worldly events and circumstances and even your own mistakes to affect the knowledge of the truth that whoever believes in him should not perish and has everlasting life. Now, he doesn't just do this here. He said in 3:17, "For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world." But this is exactly what a lot of them teach. A lot of teachers teach that you are condemned if you fill in the blank. You can fill in the blank however you want to, but you're condemned if you fill in the blank. Now, what's amazing about this, but that the world through him might be saved. So he didn't come to condemn, he came to save. So this is the truth. This is very clear, very simple to understand. God didn't want to make it so complex that you didn't understand. Now, you have to choose to believe what he's saying right here, or you have to choose not to believe what he's saying right there. You get to choose what you believe. That's the beauty of all of this. You get to choose what you believe. Now, we're going to go on to Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8 summarizes what Paul teaches in Romans 1, 2, 3. Everybody under the law, you're condemned. Then he starts at 3:21 and says, but now there's a righteousness apart from the law. He explains that. He explains that you're dead to the law. And then he explains that you're freed from sin in chapter 6. He exclaims that you've died to the law in chapter 7. He gets to chapter 8 and he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. How much? None to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How do we get into Christ Jesus? We are back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We know this to be very, very true. Not only, you know, that it's true because he says so, you take him at his word, but it goes on and says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Remember, he was talking about you are dead to the law, which the law is what the commandments are based upon, which you have to keep perfectly And there's 613 Levitical commandments. And if you don't keep them perfectly, what's going to happen is you are condemned of the whole law because you broke one law, unless you decide, you know what, I'm dead to the law. And if I'm dead to the law, what's my new husband? My new husband is Christ. You are considered to be the bride of Christ. So now you believe in him. Why did he do that? Because what the law could not do, in that it was weak. Uh-oh. The law is weak? It's not weak by itself. It's weak through the flesh, because our flesh desires things. Our flesh desires sinful things because it's not perfect. It has been condemned from the time of the garden, literally. So if you think you're stronger than the flesh, you'd be the only person besides Jesus Christ who actually was. But you're not. Let's just face it, right? You and I both know. I don't have to know what they are, but you and I both know there are things that you've done that you're not proud of, that you don't want anybody to ever know. And if it was shouted from the rooftops, you'd want to go crawl in a hole, right? So that is not a very good standard for you to be held to when it comes to death. Because if we're held to that standard, who will survive? Will you? No, neither will I. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God did it by sending his own son in the likeness of flesh. And God did it sending his own son for sin. He didn't condemn you. He condemned sin in the flesh. Are we getting the character of God at this point? Are we getting the understanding of what he means? Let's try one more place. We're going to go to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to shoot down to verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, that he's your Jesus, he's your Christ, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. What other conditions do you see in there besides the fact that you confess him as Jesus and you believe, there's that word again, believe that God raised him from the dead, that you shall be saved? For with the heart the man believes unto righteousness. That's for those who want the meat. Righteousness is perfect right standing with God, and you have the confidence to know that. And you're righteous with your breastplate of righteousness. So he is here protecting you, keeping you safe from all fiery darts. And with the mouth, your confession is made unto salvation. So with your mouth, you make the confession unto salvation to be a baby Christian. And with your heart, you believe unto righteousness to be a mature Christian. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Think about that word. How many of you have felt ashamed? Some of you have been made ashamed by your parents. Even I've done it to my own children. It's a mistake in the teaching of righteousness. But until we come to the end of ourselves, we don't get to the humility point where we say we need him. That, my friends, is the purpose of the law, only to get you to say, help, I need you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Christ, for dying on the cross for me. The law is not there as your eternal judgment. It's there to condemn you so that you say, I need help and I need Christ. Now, once you have died to the law and you've accepted Christ because you're no longer under that self-performance standard, you're now under his standard. That is the character of God, because he says, you're no longer bound by that, my son, my daughter. That's no longer you. You're dead to that because you chose to accept my son, which is all I've ever wanted. And when you understand that, you now understand the love of God. And when you get the love of God in your heart, you know that you know that you know you are okay. Papa's got you. you're on his lap and you're safe and sound, and he's surrounding you, and he's got that Superman shield around you that not even kryptonite can penetrate. So those days are over of your condemnation of yourself. They're done, right? We're going to go one more place before we go into the teaching, because this has got to be understood. We are going to 1 John. We're going to go to chapter 3. Well, before that, we're going to go to chapter 2. My little children, these things I write unto you. Now, let's look at the word my little children. It's for the babies, okay? Little children. It's from the word technion, a little child, okay? What does he write unto the little children? That ye sin not. I'm trying to tell you, you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Children, don't worry. If you make a mistake, Jesus has got you. He's got you. He's protecting you. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Basically, this is the stand-in to accept all judgment for your sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Even though you, who have not accepted Christ, who are listening right now, got some news for you. This is the ministry of reconciliation. He's a propitiation not only for my sins and Albert's, but he's also for yours, the whole world. You just haven't accepted it yet. Now, I'm going to let you know there's a little time clock going on here. As this little time clock goes, the meter's running down. You want to accept him as fast as possible, because time's kind of running out here. And you have a special purpose that God's planned for you in your life. And it's here. Now, if you do that before that clock runs out, you're in great shape. So get her done. And you can do that today, right? And hereby, we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If you say you know him and you don't keep his commandments, my question is this: how you doing? You doing all right keeping those commandments? Have you ever lied? Have you ever looked at a woman with lust? Have you ever dishonored your mom and your dad? Yeah. You ever stepped on a bug? Okay. But whoso keeps the word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandments unto you, but these are the old commandments which you heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you've heard from the beginning. Again, now a new commandment I write unto you. Which thing is true in him and in you? Because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whither he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Here again, we're going to look. 50-40, technion, little children. These are the little babies, okay? We're in the little baby world. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, technion, because ye have known the Father. Let's see if that's technion. I don't think so. It's not. It's P-A-I-D-I-O-N. Therein lies the difference.
Strong's G, 3813. Paideon. Paideon.
Okay. A male child just recently born. Uh-oh. Let's look at that. I write unto you, little children who have just been born, because now you know the Father. You've been reborn. Here it comes. I've written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, those are the root of sin, is not of the Father, but is of the wicked one, or of the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last time. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. And he goes on and explains a little bit more. Now, we're going to go into 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to go down here to 3:1. Behold, what manner the love of the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. This is a different terminology. What are the sons of God? It's even a different word. It's not technion, it's technon. A male child, a son. The name transferred to that intimate and reciprocal relationship formed between men by the bonds of love, friendship, trust, just as between parents and their own children. An affectionate address such as patrons, helpers, teachers, and the like employ my child. Children of the Old Testament, the people of Israel, is especially dear to God. Okay? So basically, we look here and we see you are the Son of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Let's read that again. Every man and woman that has this hope that you are the son and daughter of God purifies yourself just as he is pure. So you're as pure as Christ by having the hope in Christ. By having the hope, how much love he's lavished upon us, right? How much love has he lavished upon us? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. That if, even if you have the hope, you're as pure as he is pure. Whoever commits sin transgresses the law. All for sin is transgression of the law. So again, we're back to the law. So sin is by definition transgressing that law. But God said you're dead to the law. You're now married to a new husband in Romans chapter 7. And that new husband is Christ. Right? And ye know that he, Christ, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Was he manifested? Yes. Did he take away your sins? Yes. In him is there no sin? Yes. So as he is, you are in this world. So you're as pure as he is pure, and he took away your sins. Whoever abides in him sins not. Why? Because it just explained that your sin has been taken away. So you can't sin if it's taken away. It's like this drink, okay? As long as I have this drink, I can drink. The moment the drink is actually taken away, I can no longer drink. So if I can no longer drink, I'm not a drinker. I can't drink. It's been taken away. Sin is the same way, my friends. Yes, I said it right here. Sin's the same way, not because I say it, but because God says it in his word. We're reading it. Whoever abides in him sins not. It isn't a command, stop sinning. Why? We're going to read why here in a minute. Whoever sins has not seen him or known him. Why do we say that? We didn't. God did. Whoever sins has not seen him or known him. How come God says that? Because it says, right in the verse prior, we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So whoever sins has not seen him or known him, because you don't believe he took away your sins. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous. How do we do righteous? You're as righteous as him is if you do righteousness. Well, how do you do righteousness? Romans chapter 3, 22. It's believe upon him, because he did all of it. All of it. He did every bit of it. He that commits sin is of the devil. Why? Because you, if you accept Christ, you can't continue to sin because it was taken away, just as the drink was taken away. You can't continue sinning if it's been taken away. That's why he says he that commits sin is of the devil, because he's not accepted Christ. It isn't the action of sin that defines you. It's the belief in Christ that defines you. Under the law, the action of sin defines you. Under Christ, his action of death, burial, and resurrection defines you. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Here it is, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What's the devil do? He uses the tool of the law against you to make you feel condemned. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin. His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin. You can't sin if Christ is in you, because he is born of God. Do you see a pattern here, folks? All right. With all that in mind, now we get into the meat. You ready? It's not going to take long now that you know God. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. You evil mongers. Right? Okay. How can that be? That sounds like in complete opposition of the character of God that we just learned. That's because it is. Let me explain. We have to understand how this all puts together, and we're going to do that. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I'm going to read it to you how it really is, so you can follow along and you go, oh, that's how it has to be, because that's the character of God. Otherwise, he couldn't make all these other statements. Everything else I just read to you had to be false. So all this evidence that I just read you now has to be false if it's as you're being taught from a lot of legalistic teachers that tell you, hey, you're going to be judged for everything you've done in the body, good or bad. Let's read it how it really is. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Yep, it is a judgment seat. Are you ready for this? It's called the Bema Seat Judgment. What is the Bema Seat Judgment? Here it is. Herod built a structure resembling a throne at Caesarea, from which he viewed the games and made speeches to the people. It's a step, a pace, a raised place mounted by the steps, a platform, a tribune. It is a ceremony of goodness, of everything. It's awesome. So we must all appear before this ceremonial seat of Christ, this victorious seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body. Yeah, that you did. You ready? You may receive the things in the body according to what Christ has done, not what you have done, whether it be good or bad. So it doesn't matter what you've done, whether it be good or bad, that you're going to receive in the body, because you're going to receive it according to what Christ has done, my children. So therefore, you get to receive the great reward coming to you because you chose to believe in Christ. Therefore, none of those sins will be counted against you. In Romans chapter 4, it says he left all the sins prior unpunished, knowing that Christ is coming to be the propitiation for sins on the cross. Knowing, therefore, the word terror here is a horrible translation. Why? Let's look. We look up the word terror, Strong's 54.1, phobos. Reverence for one's husband should have been the translation, my friends. How do we know that? We go into Isaiah 54. I think it starts in 54.5. For thy maker is thine husband. I didn't write it, folks. I'm reading it. For thine maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord has called you as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou was refused, says thy God. For a small moment I've forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. This is before the cross. He knew what was coming. In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, saith the Lord Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with you, nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart, the hills removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. How do we get there? We're going to go back now to where we were. Therefore, the reverence of your husband, we persuade men, but we are manifest unto God. And I trust also that you are manifested in your consciences. So right now you should be confident that you are saved and you do sin no more because it's been taken away. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them, which glory in appearance and not in your heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The flesh is dead. The flesh no longer matters. The flesh is irrelevant, as it says in Romans chapter 7. Sin, we've been freed from, as it says in Romans chapter 6. Therefore, wherefore, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. So we don't know you after the flesh anymore. I don't see you after the flesh. St. Albert, I don't see you after the flesh. I see you after the Spirit. Yea, we have known Christ after the flesh, but yet now, henceforth, we know him no more after the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, including the flesh. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself, by whom? Christ. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. How can it be called the ministry of reconciliation if you're still not reconciled? Really? How can it be called the ministry of reconciliation if you are not reconciled? Are you calling God a liar? You old legalist pastors out there who are trying to make your people feel condemned so you can get more money for the church to use for your big lavish airplanes and houses and things of that nature. Why can't you drive a regular plane like everybody else? You don't need it. God is your wings, unless you're relying on the money of those who feel fearful because they're not good enough and you're going to help them feel a little bit worse so that they got to give more. Wrong. We believe you don't even have to give. That's up to you. That's between you and God. I think it's good, but you got to give out of your heart of love and kindness and gentleness and you want to, but there's no requirement for your salvation. There's no requirement for you to be forgiven, right? Now, we are ambassadors for Christ. How can you be an ambassador for Christ and still be a sinner? How can you be an ambassador for Christ and still be not good enough and condemned and ugly and nasty and horrible? And you can't. the helmet of salvation isn't in you. Put it on. Try it on. It's awesome. Act as if you are because you are. Act not as if you were because you're not. Because now you are. Because you've accepted Christ. Some of you are going to get that. For he has made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin, but he made him to be that sin for us who knew no sin, that we, that's me and you, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's look at that verse. The word might is a horrible translation. To arise, appear in history, come upon the stage of miracles to be performed, wrought, to become, be made. It isn't might. It's nothing to do with the word might. So let's read it as it is in the Greek. For he has made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we be glorified and made righteous of God in him. We are the righteousness of God. We are manifest to appear, to become, not might. Mr. Translator of the King James, you have lost your mind. We're going to go here now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we were going to start, what verse on this one, St. Albert? Sorry, I can't hear you, brother.
It's 1 Corinthians 3:15.
There we go. All right. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as a fire. Okay. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Why? Because you're not the flesh. You are the spirit. The spirit is saved. The flesh is burned up. Okay. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So the body gets destroyed, but you are saved. Let no man deceive you. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of God is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. That's for you legalist preachers right there. Because you're trying to trap people and make them feel not good enough with that famous 2 Corinthians 5:10 that says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. You are incorrect in the way that you are translating this. It is very clear that we all appear before this award ceremony right in front of Christ, that everyone gets to receive the things done in his body. Ooh, according to what Christ has done, whether you be good or bad. So you get what Christ has done imputed to you. Otherwise, everything else I've read today means nothing. And you've got to answer for that one, Mr. Legalist Pastor. For those of you out there who get it, you just had a veil removed. And that veil is no more. That veil can never be put back over your eyes. You've seen over the mountain. You've gotten through the matrix. The matrix is now broken down. You have the code. The code is now there. You now have the power, the righteousness, the glory of God in you, because you are now sons and daughters of the Most High of the universe. And no longer can anyone hold that over you. Wow.
Yeah.
When you think about that, brother, that's a great lesson God has.
You know, and this goes with, you know, you were in Romans, Romans 11:6, where it says that if it's by grace, it's no more longer by works.
Romans 11:6. Let's take a look at it so we can see it in the flesh. Ready? It says in Romans 11:6, and if by grace, which it is, then there's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You got to choose. You want to keep trying? I used to say people in a lesson, I'd say, try to drop this pen. And they'd hold it down and they go, I said, I didn't say drop it. I said, try. Then they'd do this thing here. Then they wouldn't drop it. I said, I didn't say don't drop it. I said, try. They said, we don't get it. I said, I know, because there is no try. You either choose works or you choose grace and his mercy. I don't know about you, but I need his mercy. And some of you probably have seen me on the radio now for years, and you probably agree. I need his mercy. But guess what? I get it. I know I do. But so do you. We all do, right? The good news is we have it. We need his mercy, right? We have his mercy. We have to just take it. It says the kingdom of God is taken by force. It's your force over an unlearning the lies. If you unlearn the legalist teaching, you can then receive the Father's mercy and love. For those of you who haven't accepted Christ, I implore you to right now. Bow your head and repeat after me. Father, I quit. I no longer want to be trying to be good, because I can't. I accept your free gift of mercy. I accept you. I accept your Son who died on the cross, was buried, and rose again to victory for me. I believe upon Christ. I receive Christ now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer, you are now being sung to by numerous angels that are praising God for you joining the kingdom. Yes, you're that important. Please tell your friends, come back to GodNewsNetwork.com each and every week, GodNewsNetwork.com, or go to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/C/GodNewsNetwork. All running together. We love sharing the ministry of reconciliation. And keep in mind, the saints are rising.